Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kentucky for Cannabis. This is Mary Thomas Spears, a.k.a. Reverend Mary. Kentucky for Cannabis is a community chapter of Americans for Cannabis, and Americans for Cannabis can be found at AmericansForCannabis.com. There you'll find pages to chapters in all the states, including Kentucky. You can also find us on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio, of course. And I want to refer you to our second page that is a backup page and an afternoon program called Kentucky for Repeal. And page is located at www.blogtalkradio.com/Kentucky4Repeal. I wished Robert Carr and his wife Kendra all the best. Robert set this program up and got it started, and he's been taken out due to the fact that he's lost signal, and we're praying for his quick return to our to us and to our group. He is missed. Okay. I also want to refer you to my personal website, which is designingyourworld.com. That's www.designingyourworld.com, all one word. There you'll find a lot of information on this issue and other issues, and personal information on myself and who I am and what I'm about. So I want to give you that information. The number to call into this show is 1-718-664-9048. And we invite you to call in and join us, and to call in and listen. So I hope you will do that. Today on this show, I wanted to talk about the fact, well, first let me say that on our afternoon show yesterday, on the Kentucky for Repeal page, I had a moment where I said, used the wrong word, I was discussing how cannabis prohibition and alcohol prohibition were similar, yet very different, and at one point I meant to say cannabis prohibition, and instead I had said alcohol prohibition. And so I want to correct that at this time, and I hope you all caught that, and I hope you were aware enough to figure out that I meant to say cannabis prohibition in that given moment, but instead it came out alcohol prohibition. But the point I was making was this: although alcohol prohibition and marijuana prohibition are very similar, they're also very different in that during the time that alcohol was prohibited, it was not prohibited for personal use. Sales were prohibited, yes. Commercial sales of alcohol, bars being able to serve alcohol, liquor stores being able to sell alcohol were prohibited. But during that time, to make your own and to consume your own and to have personal possession of it was not prohibited. And you know, the reason for prohibition in either one of these cases may or may not have been the same, as far as they may have both been prohibited for a minute in order for us to think that it's our idea to make them legal in order for us to hand them further control so that they can tax and regulate, therefore they can profit more from the taxation regulation of commercial sales as opposed to the taxation regulation of prohibition. Okay. I hope everybody got that and that clarified that. But again, that was a mistake that, you know, I'd said the wrong word on yesterday's show in one part. So I wanted to fix that because there's no way to go in and edit these programs, and these programs are aired live, and nobody pointed it out when I was live at the time. So let's see. We got a caller from 808. And I don't know who this is, but let's take this call. Hello, 808 area code. Who am I speaking with?
Aloha, is this Diverse Sanctuary?
Yes, it is. Is this Jerry Rose?
Yep. You got
me. Well, thanks for joining me.
How are you
doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How's the weather in Hawaii at 4 a.m. this morning?
It's pitch black out. I have no idea. It's not raining right now. I know that.
Right. We've got a little bit of drizzle here in Kentucky where I'm at here in Bowling Green. It's just kind of been drizzling all night. But that's good because we've been really droughted. Yeah, we've been really droughted here. We've had some really extremely hot temperatures this summer, and
it's too bad they don't have
a nice slow drizzle all night. We needed that. We need the ground to soak that up here. I planned on discussing the fact that Gatewood Galbraith had said that marijuana was legal. But while you're on the show,
my new Gatewood.
Yeah.
I knew him quite well, actually. I actually even drove through Kentucky and visited him with him and his daughter, and he was a powerful voice in Kentucky. It's too bad the Kentuckians didn't vote him into governor. He would have given them crop to make some money and take home, and our economy is in the doldrums because when you use oil, you are using a fuel source that is not only poisonous but which is narrow to the numbers of people who can benefit financially from the need that people have to have power, to have the ability to utilize something, burn something in order to run our machinery. And when you get your power from something that anybody can grow on their land, you widen the base of the economy of who has the access to the wealth that comes from producing the power. People just don't get it. They don't understand this basis that hemp is fuel, 1,000 gallons per acre, folks, 1,000 gallons per acre. We have thousands and thousands of acres. And if we would grow hemp, we would have fuel that would not only fuel our cars and feed our farmers, but would widen the basis for our economy, take it out of the hands of that goddamn 1% who just love getting more and more. They never have enough. They are insatiable
insatiable, greedy, grabbing, wanting more and more. You know, it's kind of like, you know how sometimes, you know, you get imbalanced and you just want to eat and eat and you're not even hungry, but you eat and eat and eat. These people have that in their soul for things, for power, for money, whatever that is. They want more of it. That's who they are. And they will do anything to narrow, to keep that money among themselves. That's why Kennedy was killed. He wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He wanted to end the FBI. He was a threat. He came from the scions of wealth, and he said, hey, you know what? I don't need all of this. And they went, screw you. You can't run this world for us. Bam. Three of them. The people who were into wanting to sell the illegal drugs, the people who were into the military-industrial complex, and the people who were into the sneaky FBI, CIA kind of crap. That was the triangulation. That was the three bullets that hit him. One from the depository, one from under the overpass, and one from the grassy knoll. And you know who was on the grassy knoll? That was the mafia, because he was threatening the importation of the opiates that they depend on. And the military-industrial complex, they were at the freeway overpass. And the FBI or CIA, whichever group of them,
was sitting right next
spy crap, people were in the book depository. They made it look like it was Mr. Oswald, who was just a pawn. And there they were, you know, all three of them, going after our president in an open car. I mean, give me a break. In Texas, I was in Virginia, and I heard people shouting with glee that this man had died. Our wonderful president had been killed. They were glad. Oh, those Southerners were so happy. Oh my Lord. They, you know, and they didn't even know what was being taken from them, because it was taken from them just as it was from all of us. But it was all
right.
It was Republicans and Democrats at that time, you know, and we're still dealing
clueless.
With the same bullshit there. Now the Republicans and Democrats are so identical you can't tell them apart.
Right.
It just got worse and worse. And people
don't
begin to know the history. You know, the kids are so dumb and so dumbed down and so drugged with foods, the lousy foods that are full of, you know, between the chemicals that are in the foods and the Ritalin that they're given by the MDs,
and the
fluoride, understand that they need to tell the parents to stop giving them all that sugar. Oh, please, it all ties together, and it all has to do with keeping hemp from the people, because it's not just hemp, but look at hemp seed. Look at all the nutrition in hemp seed that we're denied.
Cannabis.
Yes.
The food.
Hemp, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, and cannabis itself as an herb is a wonderful revitalizer of the spirit, of generosity, of kindness, and a healer of the body's endocannabinoid system that is designed in our bodies. We have a natural affinity for that. What that herb contains, we produce it ourselves if we're healthy, but if we've got a problem, if we're not in touch with that, if our bodies aren't able to have that when we imbibe it or take it in some way, either eating it or smoking it, we get a lift. And what is so terrible about that? Well, you know, you don't want a crutch for sure, but you need a crutch because you got something broken. Hey, use a crutch until you get well, and then use less. You know, everybody should be looking to use less. But
exactly.
That's true of everything, right? I mean, use less. Don't be looking to have more.
All
and
things
more
in
and
moderation.
More and glut yourself and be a greedy goddamn one percenter.
Yeah. All things in moderation. I have to agree with everything you said, and you just laid it out there. And you know, you said, you know, they just don't get it. Gatewood was one of the few that did, and like you said, it's a shame that Kentucky didn't vote him in when they had the chance. He was the best governor Kentucky never had, and he was a dear friend, and you know, he was my hero. He came to my rescue when I was being railroaded through the courts, and had a public defender, and I had no money to defend myself with, and that man drove over 100 miles one way to represent me in court, and he did that repeatedly as we fought that case. He did that at his own expense for 8 years.
Yeah.
We were in court for 8 years.
He had a bit of a, you know, he was an attorney, and he had a bit of a wheeler-dealer thing going, but, you know, he wasn't anywhere like the cronyism and the inculcated conspiracy that most of the upper elite of power are running things from. He wasn't in on that for sure.
He always said that if he wasn't so honest, he'd already been elected, and I had to agree with him
on
that, you know.
Exactly.
He was an attorney. He was a politician, very much so. I know
that.
Yeah,
you could
feel
it when you knew him,
but he had a sense of humor about it.
He laughed at himself about that.
Yeah, he was a human being like you and me. We all have our weaknesses, and he had his, I'm sure, but he was an awesome fighter in this movement.
He was a loving father, too, you know, his daughter was a vegetarian. You know, he listened to her and he became a vegetarian. I mean, you know, that's, you know, there's something really heartening about, you know, when an adult can learn from their child. You know,
especially when you're talking about a man who was raised here in Kentucky, and
exactly.
You know,
Instead of standing on the principles of I know what's best, you know, and that kind of thing, he listened to his daughter. You know, he loved her, and he was willing to listen to her and grow from his relationship with somebody who, you know, who on some levels, you know, I mean, she's supposed to learn from him. Well, she did, and she learned how to think and argue, and he could listen back. You see.
That's exactly.
A real human being, you know. I mean, I can't imagine having a parent like that.
My parents were like,
I'm the one. I said it, and you will obey. You know, and that's what they were. Even when I got to be an adult, they continued to be that way. They were that way my whole life.
I remember walking through Lexington with him on a Sunday as he did what he did every Sunday, and he wanted to share that with me because he knew I was a minister. He knew what I was doing here in Bowling Green with Sanctuary and trying to keep my doors open for those who'd fallen through the cracks and trying to help people get food and housing. And he would walk through the streets there in Lexington, downtown Lexington, on Sundays. And if he could just buy someone lunch or buy him breakfast, or if he could help them change a tire or whatever it was they needed, that was his way of giving back and giving to his community when he wasn't giving to his community by fighting for their rights and freedoms all the time. So he just amazed me when it come to his spirit of giving and wanting
to restore. He smoked it, and you know, and I really do believe that cannabis has within its power of support for who we are, of our spirit, because there is, you know, it is a religious reality that a spiritual reality that cannabis supports us,
And you know, he came from that place that I recognize as being, you know, the essence of feeling grateful for what you have. I mean, when you
right.
can feel grateful for what you have, and you can see that our essence, our essential nature, the reason we're here, is to reach out a hand, you know, give somebody a lift up. You know, I mean, obviously you can't do it all the time. Sometimes you have to take care of yourself. You have to take care
right.
of your own world. But you know, when you got a minute, and you can, I mean, you know, I stop and pick up a hitchhiker. You know, a lot of people are like, "Oh my God, you pick up it?" Yes, I do.
I do
all the
time. And
why? Because I have a car and they don't. So why
Amen.
Not? There's some space in my car. Why can't I share it? Why can't I share?
And not only that, but there might come a day.
I have the time. A minute.
You might be walking
stopped.
Down the road. You know, there just might come a day that you might be the one walking down the road. And
I have
you might
hitchhiked.
Need
I have
to pick
hitchhiked
you up,
also. Yes,
you know?
I have definitely hitchhiked, and I have definitely been helped by others. And anybody
right.
in this world who thinks, "Oh, I got here on my own," bull pucky, you did. We all.
I heard that. Boy,
we all need to recognize that we are helped by one another and that we are here to help. Sometimes it's your turn to be helped, and sometimes it's your turn to help. And, you know,
well,
recognize it.
Let
the energy flow. Let it flow. Let
yes.
it flow from
let
you. You know, if I'm in a hurry and I don't have the luxury to stop and pick up a hitchhiker, I send out a mental message of love. Let somebody else pick this person up, because I didn't have the time.
Right.
I didn't have that luxury right now. I'm in a hurry.
Right.
But when I have that luxury, oh, I'm not in a hurry, and look, there's a person wanting a ride, I pull over. Let him get in the – I usually let him get in the back of the truck. It's easier. We're allowed to do that here, and it's much easier for me because I don't have to worry about what's on my seat next to me and my pickup, you know. But they get in the back,
yeah.
and, you know, where are you going? Okay, I'm going to get you there. And, you know, and they're happy. They got somewhere.
And I've had hitchhikers look at me and say, I've had men look at me and say, because I'm a small woman, and I've had men look at me and say, you know, I thought you were crazy when you stopped and picked me up. But then
I realized
after talking to you for a minute that you travel with God, right?
Absolutely.
And so they know that I'm not afraid to pick them up because I know God will protect me. And so, but at this time I want to thank you for helping me out with this show today. And we've got about 5 minutes, or well, it says 6 minutes, 18 seconds, so I want to read this really quick. And it's from Gatewood's book, and the name of the book is The Last Free Man in America Meets the Synthetic Subversion. And it's the autobiography of Gatewood Galbraith. And in it, you will find a chapter called I Declare Marijuana Legal in Kentucky. I declare marijuana legal in Kentucky. Repeated that twice. Okay. My affiliation with the marijuana issue was the subject of the discussion at two other forums, the KET debate, televised statewide, and a debate held at the University of Louisville Law School with an audience of judges, law professors, and students. In both cases, the first question asked me by a reporter was the same. Mr. Galbraith, do you smoke marijuana? Yes, I do, I responded without hesitation. Then, sir, they continued, how can you expect to be the top law enforcement official in the state when you break the law every day? Well, I replied, that's because it's not against the law to smoke marijuana in the state of Kentucky. By their expressions, you would have thought I had lapsed into tongues and madness. They assumed the look of total incomprehension and didn't know what to say next. Look, I began, my explanation with an academic tone. Let me lead you through this. In 1909, the Kentucky legislature passed a law which prohibited the possession of alcohol in the Commonwealth. This was challenged, of course, and in 1909, Case Commonwealth versus Campbell of the Kentucky Supreme Court held the ordinance prohibiting even the private use, the possession of intoxicating liquor was unconstitutional state action because it intruded upon inalienable rights possessed by the citizen. In that case, the court interpreted a right to privacy from the Kentucky Bill of Rights and enumerated a standard of evaluation which remains intact today. It is not within the competency of a free government to invade the sanctity of the absolute rights of the citizen any further than the direct protection of society requires, emphasis mine. And further, it is not within the competency of government to invade the privacy of a citizen's life and to regulate his conduct in manners which he alone is concerned, or to prohibit him any liberty, the exercise of which will not directly injure society, ID, emphasis mine. Later, Case cite this standard as in Commonwealth versus Smith, 1915, the power of the state to regulate the conduct of a private individual is confined to those cases where his conduct injuriously affects others. Finally, Smith holds that the police power may be called into play only when it is reasonably necessary to protect public health or public morals or public safety. They did not say that we have a constitutional right to possess alcohol. They said we have a constitutional right to privacy in our homes, under which fits the possession of extremely poisonous substance called alcohol. Now, this is the law in Kentucky today. In fact, it is these rulings which keep the Kentucky State Police from kicking down doors of people possessing alcohol in Kentucky's 77 dry counties right now and hauling their butts off to jail. Now, marijuana is demonstrably less harmful substance than alcohol and presents far less of a threat to the public's welfare. So it also fits into a person's right to privacy in their home. It's beyond police power of a state as long as I don't sell it, and it's for my own personal use. Since our rights under the Constitution apply equally to all of us, then I demand the same rights to privacy in my home as those who possess alcohol in dry counties. They are not breaking the law, and neither am I. Any questions?
Hey, that's great. Listen.
And then there were none. Okay? And so, and it goes on, but I don't have time because I just got signal. We have 90 seconds left.
Let me say one more, please. Anybody, Google, find on the name Roger Christie, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E. Roger Christie, he's been in jail for over 2 years without a trial, without being allowed bail, because he was utilizing cannabis as a sacrament in his church, notoriously.
Well, they must be holding him under the Patriot Act.
Pardon me?
They must be holding him under the Patriot Act.
They're holding him as being a danger to society for what he did. And what he did was to help anybody who was sick or anybody who had a religious conviction that cannabis helped their spirit, he was there to help them with getting and utilizing cannabis for religious
use. We're gonna lose
time,
honey.
Including health. Roger Christie, this is a really important case. R-O-G-E-R, Roger Christie.
Okay, we're Kentucky for Can- This is Kentucky for Cannabis, and we want to thank you, Jerry Rose, for joining us this morning. And I hope you'll come back and join us again.
Well, thank you for letting me on Diverse Sanctuary.
You're very welcome. We look forward to talking to you again. There is a right to a speedy trial in America and a right to a speedy process. And I don't think he's waived that right. And I think that, you know, it's time that he's been tried or they need to release him, unless they're holding him under the Patriot Act. This is absurd. And the drug war is genocide. And this is Kentucky for Cannabis. I hope you all will come back and join us. We look forward to another episode of live radio with y'all. So,
well, aloha.
Aloha, honey. You be blessed.
You too, and blessings to all who are listening.
Yes, and you know, plant the seed today. Because that's what we do. We plant seeds, and hopefully they grow into nice, strong, mature plants that heal the earth. We are a chapter of Americans for Cannabis. You can find us at americansforcannabis.com. I can't tell if the time's up yet. For some reason, my phone and my computer are not jiving, people. I thank everyone who's joined us, and I invite you to join us again. It's been real. See, I don't know, man. My phone tells me we're off the air. The computer tells me we're still on the air. So how can I take advantage of this? Once again, my personal number is 270-904-0279. If you'd like to be a guest, if you have something you need to talk about, please give me a call. I would like to talk to a Mr. David P. I don't know if it's Biter, B-E-I-T-E-R. You're in Monticello, Kentucky. I've been trying to call you. I found your worm scan list, and I appreciate it so much. And, hey, people, you want to look at whatreallyhappened.com/rancho/politics/mena/worm-scan.html if you want to find some very interesting information as to why the government keeps cannabis prohibited. So, I think we're still on. I can't tell, but I love you for what you do. If you're a freedom fighter and you're in this war, please give me a call and let me know I'm not alone and we're not alone. And because Jerry Rose just called us from Hawaii, so I'm in Kentucky. I need to hear from some people in Kentucky.